I'm going to read a verse here and we'll move very quickly. John chapter 14. Be reminded of God's word a little bit here and then we'll... John chapter 14, let us look down. We read this a couple weeks ago, but let's read it again to refresh our minds of what we was reading. John chapter 14. Look at verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We was looking at one of the fruits of the Spirit, and the number one fruit of the Spirit is love. And as I thought and meditated on this thought, the love, the things that we should love is, and we know the scriptures, love not the world, neither the things in the world. And those are the things Satan tantalizes in front of us and puts in front of our eyes and distracts us. And you know that when it happens because it's like that guy coming up with a toner. He drives up in this Challenger that's beautiful blue with white pinstripe on it. And it's just gorgeous. And you can just stand there and as you look, then as I look and stare and I'm catching myself, I'm lusting after a car. And realizing it's tangible. It's going to rust one day. The motor's going to get used up. You know, it ain't going to be pretty like that forever, but at that moment I caught myself, there I am, lusting after his car and coveting after it. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And to be content with such things as we have, because that's where the devil gets our heart. Then we're discontent when I look at my old clunker and I realize I am blessed. It runs and goes. I am blessed above what I deserve. I could be having two horses and a buggy. At least it's better than that, glory to God. So, Miss Barb. So we're blessed, ain't we? Amen. So, it's our minds are so prone to wander. So, and this thought, if you love me, it's a love that radiates through us, through Christ. And as I thought on these things, and then it says in John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And immediately when I realized that, there was another thing that happened. There was peace that flooded my soul because I realized it, I caught it, and I'm asking God seriously before God Almighty, I was sorry. But in my heart, I felt peace. That's where God started radiating through me, and that's what we need more in our lives. Then I thought on other things that we ought to be loving. And Brother Bob was on target. Amen, Brother Bob. Good job this morning. It's my number one point. Love your enemies. One of the hardest things we have doing in life, something happens bad to us, and first thing we want to do is get even. And we start conjuring up, well, Miss Bob's going, she's grinning back here. I know ways I could get somebody, ooh, I could get them good. And Miss Ashley over here, she's over grinning too. Who are you mad at? But we do. If something happens bad to us, we're just thinking, boy, I could get even with them. I could teach them a lesson. There's something happened the other day, and before I knew it, my mind done run off in a gutter, and I thought out ways I could cut their tires off, sugar their tank, and before I knew it, I'm going, whoa! Where'd that come from? The old me come out, because that's what the old me would do. I'd get mad. Bless God, you'll never get me. I'll get you again and again and again. You'll never win. You know, I was that way, and I thought, my goodness sakes, that old flesh will rise up and surprise you so quick. And you're saying, Brother Rod, you never do that. I did a few times. But it said, love your enemies. And I thought, how in the world can we do that? Anybody got any? Give me some input here. How can you love your enemies? Oh, if you're praying for someone, it's real hard to be mad at them then. Because you've done seen past the madness or the get even, and now you're burdened for them. You're burdened for them now. It's done turned to where I'm going to get even with them to where now you're pitying them. Because they're blind, they don't see what they're doing. They don't see the hurt they're causing. And they really, and most of them really don't. They're really just doing anything and everything that they can in life just to get by, and they're missing the big picture altogether. Now, here's the tough one. Now, what if it's a brother and sister in Christ that gets you? Who's that brother and sister in Christ get you? And you got mad at them. And they hurt you. And you're wanting to, and you're thinking, best thing to do is pray for them. What are other ways? Other ways you can help to love your enemies. It's another way. What did Brother Bob just say? He had the best. Do good to them, to despite this. Giving them. If he need water, give him water. If he need food, if he need raiment, you know, it's dawn when it's got your name on the box. And they're going, what are they doing this to me for? They ought to be mad as a hornet. Till they open it up and there it is, a hornet's nest inside full of bees, you know, and then we got even, didn't we? But loving your enemies. Look at Matthew 5:44. Well, I'll just read it. Ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now here's the clincher. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. This is a fruit that animates from a Christian's life that shows who we are. We're not like the world. We're different. We show other types of fruit. We don't lash out with our lips. We don't show anger towards them and get mad, get even. Hear what that said? It said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. What a wonderful fruit that they see in our lives to show, hey, it ain't us waving our hands, look at me, they're seeing something, I don't understand that. What makes them do that? What makes them act in that way? That's a good attribute to have from our lives, a good fruit on our tree that they can see and pluck off and say, man, I want some of that. How about another one? Loving one another. John 15:12, we're right there. Look at the next chapter. Turn over. 15, look at verse 12. 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. And what did the other one say? If you love me, you keep my commandments. So now I'm going to define something real here, real clear. If everyone here says, who loves Jesus? We raise your hand. Hey, we do. But you know what? Through the day, something will happen and we'll fall out of love with him for a little bit. It happens. It slides in there, and you're not in love with him at that moment because you're this commandment, you'd be keeping it. And what happens? We're not in love with him. So we're falling in love and out of love with him all the time, all day long. And sometimes we fight and struggle to keep it. Now, let's read together now. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You know that's a good thing? We have them written down in a book. Ain't that good? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. There's our verse that we started with. And he's wanting us to bear fruit. That's what it's all about. How about just, we're loving our enemies. We're loving one another. How about just loving the Lord? 1 John 4, let's look at it real quick before we run out of time. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Wow. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So it's impossible to be mad at someone and be hateful towards one and say, you do what? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, God says you're a liar. So it don't matter what the brother does, we're loving no matter what. Ain't that a tough one? Especially them who are in the family of God. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So we see loving your enemies, loving one another, loving the Lord. How about loving the church? Are you thinking of anything else? Loving the church, what's Psalm 26? Elizabeth, look up Psalm 26 verse 8. We ought to love. Loving your enemies, we don't think of that all the time, loving Him all the time. Loving one another, loving the Lord, loving the church house, loving the habitation of thine house, where thy honor dwelleth. This is a place we ought to treat with more honor than... If your home looks better than this church house, we all got problems. But this ought to be treated with the utmost respect. This is where His honor dwelleth. Well, I'm getting some amens now. My goodness, I hit a nerve. Amen. I mean, this is the place. This is where we meet God. This is not a place that's not look right, but the spirits ought to be right. We ought to bring no garbage in our minds that would hinder the working of God. We can have a place clean, but we can dirty it up spiritually by bringing junk in our head. Dragging unforgiveness through the back doors. Dragging bitterness, Brother Bob talked about. Not loving God, bringing those things in, that to hinder the work of God. Boy, ain't it good when we go to God's house and when we leave and say, boy, God, it was good to see you was there. And you know God was there in the house. God was a-working. That'll be our number one desire. Oh, God, that you'd work today. Not just come to hear about God, but come to hear from God. Amen. Oh, I'm out of time. Let's pray. Father, do God, do love you. Help